So today's daf in Masechet Tefachim, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Samach Daled, but don't be sad, because we've got an exciting daf coming up. So we are very close to the top, a couple lines down, we're up to the next piece of the Mishnah. The next piece of the Mishnah described three things that we use that particular corner for, Lamala Michut HaSikra, and three things, Lamata Michut HaSikra. And the three things, Lamata Michut HaSikra, was remarkable what it was that we had, you know, spoken about right before the Mishnah. And that sort of set us up as a preview of the Mishnah, which was a reference to the Chatas, to the Mincha, which has to do Hagasha at that particular corner. That's west, south, west. Remember, southwest, it's the close to the Heichal, and it faces the Mizbeah. So what were the three things? The three things were the Chatas Ha'Ov. Remember the Chatas Ha'Ov, we're talking about Lamata. So the Chatas Ha'Ov was done Lamata Michut HaSikra, as opposed to the Olas Ha'Ov, which is up. Remember, up, up is Ov, and is also Ola. And Lamata would be the Chatas Ha'Ov, a Mincha, and also, of course, all the Shvicha Shirayim, which always goes to the bottom. So how do we know for each one of these things? Chatas Ha'Ov, we already said before that we compare the Chatas to the Mincha, and there, just like the Mincha has to do the Hagosha on that corner, because it has to be Bifnei Hashem and Apnei HaMizbeach, so too does the Chatas Ha'Ov need to do the Hazayah, it's referring to here, which, remember, is not done from a kodesh, it's done from the actual bird itself, so you shake the bird towards the Mizbeach after the Malika, and some of its dam goes to the Mizbeach at that point. Hagasha, you remember, Hagasha, it said, El Pnei HaMizbeach, and it also said, Lifnei Hashem, put the two together, and you get southwest. How about Shiorei Hadam? That's because, remember, we had that repetitive in the two Chataot HaPnimiot, that it called, this was the Par Koin Mashiach, says we have that same lashon by the Par Helam Davar Shal Tzibur, and it says, Ve'it kol dam ha-par yishpoch el yisod ha-mizbeach asher petach ohel moed. So that whole extra piece, the fact that we know where the Mizbeach Ola is, and we learned from there that it's supposed to be as close as you can get to the entrance of the actual Heichal. We went through this whole limud before, and we also learned from the Hekesh that we're supposed to put it to the same thing is true of the Chataot HaChitzoniyot. So we want to put it to the place which is closest to the Kohen. Also, where it comes down off of the Mizbeach, and this is by the other Chataot, the Chataot HaChitzoniyot, and therefore, we only have that one Amma, which is the Amma, the only Amma of the south, is the one that's right at the corner of the west, because remember, the southern side did not have a Yesod, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether that means didn't have the Yesod, and maybe whether it didn't have the Yesod literally, even the Binyan, or it didn't have the Yesod in Halacha, because you couldn't put down in that area. There were also three things, says the Mishnah, that the corner was used for, but that was above the Chut HaSikra. What were those three things? Well, that was the Nisach HaMayim, which was done on Sukkot, the Nisach HaYayin, which was done of all of the Korbanos of the Grand Nisachim, which was all of our Olot, our Shlomim. We did always witness Achim. And there's one additional thing, which was the Olas Ha'Ov Kishi Rabba B'Mizrach. So actually, the Olas Ha'Ov was done on the eastern side of the Mizbeach. Because remember, that area, it's true, it didn't have any Yesod, but that dam was put anyway above the Chut HaSikra. Therefore, it doesn't need to be dam das mitzmatze down to the Yesod. So that was put on the eastern side, and when there were too much olos that were being brought, and there was simply not enough room for all of the Kohanim to be able to do all of their Aveda in that corner. So then you could move the Oilas Ha'Ov also, of course, it would still have to be above the Futasikra, but you could move it to the same corner where the Chatas Ha'Ov was being done, Lamata Mifutasikra. And that was, again, on the Yesod, the area that has the Yesod, which is on this, the south and on the west. So it's Tzvonit, Dromit, or Dromit, Maravit, as it's usually called. Why do we choose that for the Eila? The point is that the Kohen, the reason that we would want it to be on the southeast is because that's the closest that you can get to the place that you have to put the ashes that you're taking down from the Trumas Hadeshen. What the heck does that have to do with anything? Ah, you see, in the oath, you have to do the Kedira, you have to cut around the area of the crop, take out the crop, which is considered, remember, that's the Medrash, because the oath is Mena from Gezel, it goes around and it takes seeds and that are in a field from other people. Because of that, we don't bring the crop which stores those seeds. So we cut it out, and the area around it, the skin and the feathers that were above it, and anything that comes out with it, so there's also the esophagus, maybe sometimes other entrails come out with it. Everything that's brought out with it is supposed to be put in the Mokom Hadeshen. The Mokom Hadeshen was the place where the Trumas Hadeshen, not to be confused with the Beit Hadeshen, where we burn the Chataot and Nisrafot, which is outside of Yerushalayim. Actually, this was directly next to, was three etzbaot away from the actual Kebesh, as we'll see. And there it was absorbed in the ground, the Derech Nes, and that was called the inside Mokom Hadeshen. Here we're calling it the Beit Hadeshen. So in the place where you put the Trumas Hadeshen, it's where the Kohen needs to get the Mur'ah, the Notza, as it's called. So that's the crop and the associated skin and feathers around it. Now that is very, very light, barely weighs anything. For the Kohen to get it all the way over from where he is standing on the Mizbeach to the Mokum of the Deshen, which was 23 Amot further down along the Kevesh, wasn't right next to the Mizbeach, it was right next to the Kevesh, and 23 Amot is a very long way. And to be able to get as close as possible to that corner so that the Kohen can aim and get it right at the Beit HaDeshen from where he's working on top of the Mizbeach, the closest place, as we'll see, is that side, the southern side near the Mizrach. If it's the opposite side, then where it is that we do the Aveda of the Chatas Ha'Ov. But if there's too much traffic, we said we could even bring the Eila to that same side on the west. But the Svara would be to get it over, which is very difficult. Now, if, according to the Mishnah, the Kohen could actually be standing on the western side of that southern part of the Mizbeach that's facing you, that takes him very far away from where he's got to be in order to get it to the Beit HaDeshen, because the Beit HaDeshen was actually on the eastern side, which means that he's going to have to throw it. And I mean, imagine you have to be extremely strong to be able to throw something very light. It's easy to throw a baseball, but to throw something that's got a lot of air resistance is very, very difficult. And because of that, says Rabbi Yochanan, take a look if the Mishnah allows the Kohen to be doing the Avodah in case the traffic, there's heavy traffic, to be doing it all the way on the western side of the southern part of the Mizbeach, the Pnei Mizbeach. So Borei Kama Gadol Kohan Shel Kohanim, imagine how strong these Kohanim had to be. She'en lecha kal ba'ofot yoter mimura v'notza. There's nothing in a bird that would be lighter to throw than the Mur'ah and the Notza, the crop with the feathers around the outside. And sometimes the Kohen is called upon to throw him more than 30 amos. Wow, how do you get that? Well, take a look at where exactly the Beit HaDeshen was and take a look at how far the Kohen would have to throw if he was on the opposite side of the Kevesh and all the way at the corner on the western side where the Beit HaDeshen was close to the eastern side. Because if we take a look at the Mishnah in Tamid, it says that the way that the Kohen would do the Avodah would be not a machta shokesev, the alal rosh hamizbeach. This is where he would do the Avodah of the Truma Sadeshen. And the Truma Sadeshen is where the Beit HaDeshen comes from, that idea where we put the Deshen. So let's take a look at the Mishnah in Tamid that describes where we put the Deshen, and you'll see how far away it is from where the Kohen would be standing when he's doing an Oilas Ha'of on the western side. So the normal way, as the Mishnah says in Tamid, is he goes up and he's got this silver shovel in his hand. He goes up to the top of the Mizbeach and he takes the coals on either side, which are still not fully burned, the ones on the top, and he takes a scoop of the mu'uchalot apnimiot, the most burned all the way on the inside that was burning the whole night. And he takes that full machata from those ashes. And then he goes down from the Mizbeach. And when he gets to the bottom, he comes all the way bottom to the bottom of the Yesod, of the Kevesh, and he makes a U-turn so that he now starts walking towards the north because he's no longer coming down off of the south. So when he makes a U-turn, he's facing the southern part of the Mizbeach, but he's walking north, right? So he's Machzir Ponav Klapet Safon. He goes Eser Amot along the eastern side of the Kevesh. So the Kevesh was 32 Amot in total. He goes 10 of those Amot. Now only remember, only 30 of those Amot were beyond the Mizbeach, because the two Amot were actually Ama Yesod and Ama Soveh that we allowed a jigsaw that it should fit in. It was indented to fit over that area. So he walks 10 Amot along the bottom of the Yesod. If you're facing the Mizbeach, it would mean that he's on the right side as you're looking at him. He's walking towards the Mizbeach on the ground, and he walks 10 Amot towards the Mizbeach, and that's where he deposits the ashes. And Savar et Agechalim Agabe Haritzpah, so he piles these coals up in that place, 3 tvachim, which is a half an amma, away from the Kevesh. And that's the place, Makom Shenotnim the Murav Anotza. That place is used not only for the Dishon of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, it was also used to put the Murav Anotza of every one of the Olas Ha'of. And it was where you put the Dishon Mizbeach HaPnimi, not only the Mizbeach HaChitzon, but every time the Ketoros was brought, the ashes of the Ketoros were removed and were put in that same place. And when the menorah was cleaned out, they would take the ashes from the menorah every day and put it also in that place. And all of them were absorbed into the ground. So now if that's the case, then what you're talking about is, just make yourself a little diagram and you'll see very clearly what's happening. The coins on top of the Mizbeach. And this is 22 Amot we're talking about. The Mokum of the Deshen is 10 Amot towards the Mizbeach, which basically leaves you another 22 Amot to actually get to the top of the Mizbeach, right? Because you had one Amma Yesod, one Amma Keneged the Sovev, and now you would be at the top of the Mizbeach, which is where the Kohen is standing. Now, if the Kohen is up there, then if he was throwing directly from the Mizbeach, he would have to throw it for 23 Amot, because he himself takes an Amma. He moves his hand back, and now he's not standing on the Kranot, he's standing where the Kohanim stand, which is one Amma in. So that gives us 23 Amot. He's got to throw it 23 Amot. But let's say that he is in a day where it was very busy, and the Mishnah said he's allowed to move all the way over next to the Karen of the Mizbeach, which is on the western side. So now he also has to throw it that diagonal of a triangle. So let's figure out how much that would be. The Kevesh itself was 16 Amos wide. The Mizbeach is 32 Amos, right? So that means You put the kevesh directly in the middle of the mizbeach, leaves you 8 amot to either side of the mizbeach. Now he is standing on the mokom hiluch hakohanim, and he's got to throw it on a diagonal of a triangle, which would be the 5 amot that were left. After, remember, you had 8 amot on either side, because you have a kevesh of 16, and you have a total mizbeach of 32. That leaves us 16 plus 8 plus 8 on either side, right? Now, out of that 8, you have to take out 1 amma for the yesod, 1 amma for the sovev, and 1 amma for the kronot. So he's standing 5 amot away from the kevesh on his side, and he's got to get it all the way. Those 5 amot, this is the side of the triangle, those 5 amot, plus the 16 amot of the kevesh, plus the half of the amma, which was the shosh tvachim, where it was located, which was away from the kevesh. And we will assume that he himself is going to take up an amma. So when he lifts up his hand, we got to take that additional amma. Okay, so then that means that we have a triangle, 23 amot by 21 amot. So he's got his 5 and the 16. So even if he goes all the way to the corner, that means that if you use, now remember, the Gemara uses as an approximation of the square root of 2, which is the usual way that we would make this cheshbon. The approximation in the Gemara is always the kol amsa biribua is amma v'trei chumshin, which means 1.4. 2 chumshin, 2/5 is 4/10. So every amma would actually be an amma on the diagonal plus the shnei chumshin, which is 4/10 of an amma. So it means that we're rounding off the square root of 2 to 1.4. So if we make the simple cheshbon, then we're going to end up taking that extra amma for the kohen. We're going to end up with over 31 amot, actually. And Rabbi Yochanan said it only is 30 amot. So why did Rabbi Yochanan, he's trying to bring out how strong the kohanim were, why did he say that? Isn't it more than 31 amot in reality? Because the truth is, if we do not make the approximation of the square root of 2, and we actually use the real square root of 2, then even if we don't allow for the extra half an amma of the 3 tefachim, it's going to be slightly more than the 31. If you add the additional chatzi amma, it's significantly more. So this is machlokas, whether the point over here in the Gemara is because of the extra half an amma, or the reason is because we know that the square root of 2 here is only an approximation. And if you use the real value, it makes a big difference over this size, and therefore it ends up being more than 31 amot. Answers the Gemara, take off 1 amma of the sides over here, because he wasn't including Rabbi Yochanan, the amma of the Kohen's own presence, even though he's going to have to throw it that book. We're making it from the point of where his body ends, not including where his body is. So the Makom Gavri Lokal Chashiv, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't including the actual place of the Kohen himself. So because of that, he said, look, it's going to be slight, it's going to be over 30 amas, which is true. It's only very slightly over 30 amas. And therefore, he was really quite accurate if he doesn't include the extra amma. The next thing that we had in the Mishnah was describing how it is that these particular things that were brought on the top, which was the Nisrei Yayin, the Mayim that was Menusach on Sukkos, and the Olas HaOf. So the Mishnah said that, strangely enough, instead of going around the Mizbeach counterclockwise, which we had learned out from the Pasuk of the Yam Shel Shlomo, remember the Ponim, told us to go in a counterclockwise in direction, starting from the north over there, but okay, we're still applying that same din of Kol Pniyot Shata Poneh, Lo Yu El Yamin, that was a Gavi Yesod, And there, in its original application, there was Yamin Lemizrach. That's where you're coming up off of the Kevesh. It would be Lemizrach. But here, for some reason, those three things that were done on the top, that was done on the southwest, is not going around counterclockwise, but he turns left. Not that you're not supposed to turn left. My time is, why do we do this? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, look, it's logistics. You cannot walk around the Mizbeach holding the Nisachim. Would you take a fine glass of the best wine and take it through a bunch of smoke before you drink it? Of course not. It's going to hurt the taste of the wine. The din on the Mizbeach is everything that's put on the Mizbeach is of the highest quality. So we don't want the Nisachim to get filled with smoke. And the same thing is true of the Nisach HaMayim. The Mayim was very pure. We're going to take that water and we're going to get it all smoky. And the Olas Ha'ov might actually die before we get a chance to do the Malika. You're taking through all that smoke. Birds, remember, are canaries about what humans can breathe. We use birds to make sure that we know what's breathable. Well, that Olas Ha'ov could very easily die on the way from the Hashanah Mizbeach. So because of that, you turn directly to the area where you're going to be doing the Nisachim and doing the Avodah of the Malika. But it says in the Mishnah in Tamid that actually the Kohen Gadol, is allowed to do Avodah whenever he wants, right? So if he decides, say Kohen Gadol decides that he wants to bring the Avarim today of the Eilas Tamid, he wants to put them on the Mizbeach. So if Balalakivata Mizbeach, Me'ayin Hu Matchil, so where does the Kohen Gadol start? He goes from the Keren Dromit Mizrachit, that's true. He does, obviously, like anybody, gets first on the right turn, the Dromit Mizrachit, Mizrachit Svonit, Svonit Maravit, Maravit Dromit. Now, here it's talking about that he wanted to do this Aveda of the Eila on Sukkot, and when he finishes putting the Evarim onto the fire, he now wants to bring the Nisach HaMayim. So how does he get there to the Nisach HaMayim? After all, I mean, we know you do the Nisach HaMayim when you walk up the Kevesh, but he's already on the Mizbeach, having done the Zrika of the Basar of the Eila and the Emurim onto the Mizbeach. So what he does is he goes to that, the Keren Dromit Mizrachit, and he makes the normal counterclockwise, turns around the Mizbeach, and he gets the Maravit Dromit, Venot Nimlo Yain Lenasech, and of course, now we think this means, and of course, he was given the wine to pour out. If it's a regular day, then he would pour out the yayin that would be the nisuch from this eila. If it was sukkahs, we would give him the mayim to pour out. In reality, that was done with a special ceremony and so on. So this really wouldn't happen just because the Kohen Gadol decides he's going to take it as part of the avodah of the eila, as we'll see. But we would give him the wine, and even though the wine was going to get all smoky, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't mean he was carrying the wine in the beginning. It means exactly what it's saying. He was working on the Mizbeach. So now he goes around Berega, not holding the wine. Then they handed him up the wine so that he could pour it out. It was given to him by a Kohen that handed it to him and brought it directly, but the wine was never exposed to all of that smoke. And Amar Rava, well, obviously, take a look at the language. You see that it means that. It says, notnim lo yayin lenaseh. What do we normally do when we ask the Kohen Gadol to do an Aveda that's in his hand? We say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, you know. So we would say to him, Omer lo, naseh, pour now. But we don't. It says we hand it to him, which means at that point we hand it to him. He wasn't carrying it before. Shema mina, that's the point of the Mishnah, that it's actually given to him then, and not that he does it then. That's not the point. And the Braita says, Tana Rabbanan, kol ha'olim la'mizbeach. There's a very strange switch in language here, as we'll see. Any Kohen coming up to Mizbeach steps to the right of the Kepesh. So he's Olim Derech Yamin, and as he comes down, he goes down to the left side of the Kevesh, which of course to him at that point is the right, just to get it clear. he's on the east side of the Kevesh when he's going up. And he's coming down on the west side of the Kevesh, which is closest to the Heichal, whereas the east side would be closest to the entryway and into the Azara itself. And Shar Niknor would be on that direction. Except, and this is the part that we had in the Mishnah, except for a Kohen who's going up for these specific things, the Nisach HaMayim, the Nisach HaYayin, and the Eilas HaOf, where over there they would go up on the west side, and they would come down also on the west side, which was normal. But here the language is weird. Olim derech yamin, v'yordim derech yamin. They come up on the right side and come down on the right side. What? It's the left side. If you're talking about Ma'arav, it's obviously the left side. That's the whole point. The first part of the Braita said that you go up derech yamin, which is the Mizrach, and you yordim to Smol, which is the Ma'arav. So now how could this make sense at all? Asking, well, what are you talking about? Derech yamin? This was to the left side of the Kevesh. Ravina, yeah, it's crazy. It's obviously a mistake. Change that to read Smol. Rava says, maybe what it means is that you're going down to the right side of the Mizbeach. You know, there's two different ways of looking at it. So the first part we were normally talking about in terms of the person. And we said, okay, person goes up to his right and then is going down on what he would have seen on the left side of the Kevesh. So that was a reference to the person. And then at the end, when it changes it to say that when he said the west, he goes up and down on the right, maybe that was from his own perspective. So in the beginning, it was the small of the individual. And when it says the right, it means if you are the Mizbeach and you're facing the south, so then the right is what is towards the west. So the end of the Braita, when it said the right, it meant the right, but it meant the right from the Mizbeach's point of view, not from the person's point of view. In the first part, when it said when you're coming down on the west, it's on the left, that would be the point of view of a person who's looking at the Mizbeach. That doesn't make sense, the Gemara. I mean, why would you switch perspectives right in the middle of the Braita? I mean, it's very confusing, isn't it? Nitne o ide ve'ide, the Mizbeach. Either use the perspective of the Mizbeach consistently, or ide ve'ide de gavra, or use the person's perspective consistently. What would be the excuse for changing smack bang in the middle? Kashya. That indeed makes it a little bit untenable. It's not impossible, but it's difficult to believe. And this brings us, and the truth is, this brings us to a completely new sugya that we're talking about, which is the actual Aveda. As how is it that you did these Avedas for the Eilas HaOf? So this begins with an introduction from our very own Sir Richard, who is going to put his entire heart into an introduction of this Mishnah. And he's not going to look bored keeping his hands on his face. And I mean, imagine if I would give the Daf Yomi looking like that, I'd have you all fast asleep in no time at all. Go for it, Richie! Whoa. Okay. Don't expire on us, for heaven's sakes. When I say your whole heart, I only meant the effort. I mean literally. Now, Chatas HaOf, Ketzad Haya Na'asei. So what exactly was done? Tell me the whole procedure. Well, first of all, the Mishnah puts in something that is absolutely ridiculous because somebody stuck it in from the Mishnah of the Chatas HaOf. So obviously you do not... when we talk about over here, the Chatas HaOf, you don't do what you do for the Eilas HaOf. So we're going back here to discuss the Chatas and then the Eila, like we did in the Malkan. So take out those words, Ola the Kevesh, but that's absurd because that was Ola, obviously, was only going up for the Eilas HaOf. Okay, so take that out. Hayamalek et Rosha Mimul Orpas. He was at the bottom, he was on the ground, and he would be Molek with his thumb cutting through the back of the neck, Mul Orpah, which is facing the neck of the bird, which means it's the nape of the neck. So it would be right there at the bottom where you would bend the neck over, as we're going to see. But he's not Mavdil. Now, what exactly not Mavdil? So there's an Isser D'Oraisa, which is considered to be one of the Lavim in the Torah, as the Rambam makes clear, V'lo Yavdil. V'lo Yavdil. U'malaket Rosho Mimul Orpo V'lo Yavdil. According to the Rambam, that means literally, V'lo Yavdil. It means make sure that the head remains attached to the body. You don't want to have two separate pieces. And if you do, you would actually be Chayim Malkus, because it's a real lav. It's not just a procedural point. So V'lo Yavdil. But Rashi learns, as do other Rishonim, that V'lo Yavdil means don't cut through both simanim. It's not a question of the actual connection. It's a question of the functional connection. So you don't cut both the kona and the veshet. You put your thumb through either the kona or the veshet. It's not a question of whether there's a piece of skin that's going to be holding the head together with the body. So, as I say, the Rambam says it is you're allowed to cut through both the kona and the veshet. Eino mavdil means don't have two separate pieces. And then mazeh midama al kir hamizrach, you would then sprinkle from the connected head and body by spraying it, by moving your hand, shaking it towards the mizbeach, and that would actually be a hazayah on the mizbeach, and it would be on that corner that we learned about, which was the mizrach, the dromit ma'aravit. And then, shiarei adam haya mitmatzeh al hayesod. Now, this is a very strange language, because the word mitmatzeh is reflexive. But what we're really talking about over here is, or should be, mimatzeh. The kohen has to do mitzui, which is squeezing, actually, the bird, so that the dam, this is the equivalent of shvicha shirayim, and that would go on the yesod, just like the shvicha shirayim of the chataot peim go on the yesod, right? But then why does it say reflexively, mitmatzeh, which means that the dam that he put on the mizbeach, umata bichota sikra, is going to dribble down to the yesod, if that's not the point? Gemara is going to talk about that. All that the mizbeach has from a chatas ha'of is the dam. There's no hakrava at all. There are no emurim, there's no basar. The rest of the aveda is just that the kohen eats everything. All of the meat is given kula lekohanim. This is the reason, by the way, that when we have a suffix about whether you're chayev the chatas ha'of, as we've had several times, you can bring a chatas ha'of mitzad ha'safek, because there's no hakrova that is being done of chulin on the mizbeach, and therefore you could even, of course, you can't eat it because it may be pasul if you're not chayev it, but there's no iser in putting the dam alone on the mizbeach. So how do we do this? Turn her up on it. It says v'hiza midam hachatad. What does that mean, midam hachatad? It means directly, not by putting it in a cup, but from the actual body, miguf hachatat, and the actual body is how you do the hazoya. How do you do that? Ochez baroshu baguf, you're holding the head and the body, both, and remember, they cannot be separated, and that you then, you go and you sprinkle while they're together. Al kir hamizbeach, and it says al kir hamizbeach, it means on mizbeach proper, not on the kira kevesh, and not on the kira the echal, and not on the kira the ulam, directly onto the mizbeach. Which kira mizbeach? It's got to be referring to the area which is beneath the chita sikra, the kir hatachton on the mizbeach, and it means that you have to put it directly where it's going to be getting down to the Yesod, if it drips. Maybe it means the Kir HaElyon. Isn't it make sense that it should be on the Kir HaElyon? Vedino, a behema, as opposed to an oath, where the, even the ola of the behema is brought under the Chutas Sikra. The chatas of a behema is brought above the Chutas Sikra. So the oath where even the ola is brought above the Chutas Sikra, shouldn't the chatas or oath for sure be brought above the Chutas Sikra? That's why the Torah said, Hanishara Badam, Yimatze El Yisod HaMizbeach, Yimatze, remember what the Chirik is the same as Mitmatze, and that's why we use the word Kir Shahashiraim Shalot Mitmatzim LeYisod. It would be specifically the wall where after I do the Hazoya from the body, the blood that I put on the Kir HaMizbeach, when it dribbles down, is going to be going down to the Yisod. And if that's the case, it has to be beneath the Chutas Sikra, because if you put it above, then it's not going to dribble to the Yesod. It's going to get stuck on the Sovev, most of that area. So it's referring to, therefore, the Kir HaTachton. What? But these are two separate acts. The Mitzui has nothing to do where you put the Hazoya. I mean, it's the same thing with the Chatas Behema. The Chatas Behema, you do the application of the dam on the kranot, and then you pour the shirayim down to the yisod. Well, the same thing is true over here. How do you know that you're supposed to have the dam go to the yisod from the hazoya? I don't understand. It's a separate act of mitzui. So why don't we first navi miloi? Let's do the hazoya properly with the kavachomer that we just made. It should be lamala michuta sikra, and then you do the mitzvah, which is the equivalent of shvicha shirayim, lamata michuta sikra, exactly as we would do for the chatas behema. Answers Rava, look, read the pasuk. Does the pasuk say yimatze? It says anishar b'da yimatze. Yimatze would mean the Torah, the Kohen should squeeze it out. Doesn't say that. It says yimatze. Yimatze is the same thing as writing yitmatze, which is reflexive. So it means that blood is going to drip down. So then that means that it has to be on the Kir HaTachton. So it says yimatze, which is the memela. That is its own act, not the act of the Kohen. It's reflexive. Omer of Zutra Bartuvia, Omer Rav. So what this means basically is that we have a double meaning. So simply, if you read it without being medayek, it's written as if it says Yimatze, but it's read Yimatze. And therefore, it tells us two different things. That on the one hand, even the original Nesina Saddam, the Hazoya Saddam, has to be in a place where it's going to be Yimatze, where it will be Yitmatze, down to the bottom. And then there's a separate chiyuv of the Nosar Shabadam, the coin actually is Yimatze. So we learn two different datum over here. Omer Marzucha, how do you actually do a Malika? It's pretty tough. Ochez gapav b'shtei etzba'ot. So what you do is, and we're talking about over here in this approach, the bird is sitting on your palm, a bird in hand. So that bird in hand, you hold it, the two wings you hold down with two fingers so that you put the wings between your first finger and the middle finger. And then you hold the 2 feet, b'shtei etzba'ot, so that between your finger and your pinky, I think they call the last finger, some people call it a ring finger because of an old, it wasn't true, but they used to believe that you have to put a ring on that finger because of the the heart is connected to that. Oh, it's all above the mice. But anyway, so they call it the ring finger, and you hold, that's where you hold the Shnei Raglayim, and then you take the neck of the bird over the outside of the thumb by bringing it underneath it, and then you do the Malika. Now, this is almost impossible if it's done with the same hand. I mean, you've got to have almost a double-jointed thumb to be able to bring the neck around the thumb and then to use the thumb to cut through that neck. You try to do that, and very few people can do that. And the Rambam, therefore, says it's not what it means. Actually, according to the Rambam, this entire thing is done with your left hand, which leaves your right hand free to do the Malika on the nape of the neck, which is now being held stretched over the thumb of the left hand, which makes a lot of sense. So therefore, the left hand is just being used. It's not part of the actual Aveda. And because of that, you use your right hand after using your left hand to position it properly. Masha ain kein, other Rishonim hold that no, the achiza of the bird is also part of the Aveda, and it's all done in one hand, even though that's very difficult to see. But we'll see, the Gemara says later that this is indeed very difficult. So we'll have to explain why it would be difficult the way the Rambam has it. In the Braisa, it says, actually, that you hold the tzipor on the outside, not in the palm of your hand, but on the outside of the hand, because it says you hold the wings, b'shtei atzpaot, you hold the raglayim b'shtei atzpaot, but then you bring the tzavaro over the width of the fingers. So then that means that you are bringing it from the outside of your hand over the two fingers that are next to your thumb, and then it makes sense that it would be very easy to do the actual Malika with your thumb there. But it's obviously talking about holding the bird on the outside and not on the inside. So Yimoteach Tzavaro Rochav Shtei Atzpaot Umolek V'zo Avodah Kasha Shekei Mikdash. This is very difficult to do. So again, according to the way we learned it, if you hold like those Rishonim that say that it's all done in the right hand, it's almost impossible. And as I say, try it yourself. You can't get your thumb to hold the neck and also be able to turn around, make a right turn to be able to, I mean, it is possible, but very difficult. It really hurts to move your thumb that way. So maybe that would be why it says Avodah Kasha. According to the Rambam, according to the other approach, where you're using your thumb after keeping the nape of the bird over the fingers, what's so hard about that? So the way all of those Rishonim understand, the difficulty is not in the positioning of the thumb. The difficulty is actually using your nail in such a way that you're able to cut through the actual vertebrae and the neck of the bird, which hurts. You have to press very hard against your nail. Now, do you think it's a coincidence that the name for a nail in Hebrew is tziporen? I doubt it. So it's really a function of the tzipor and the tziporen, which is what makes it so difficult. Ask the Gemara, this is the hard one? You're saying this, like everything else, is easy to do? Ask Barnea. He'll tell you there's other stuff that's very rough to do. What about kmitza? Kmitza is very difficult to do. Why? Because you have to bend your fingers down, and then you have to use your thumb and your pinky to make sure that there's not the tiniest bit of material of the mincha that sticks out further than the actual etzpaot of the kmitza. That's hard to do because you can't pull out too much and you can't pull out too little. I mean, maybe if you're talking about a mincha soles, it's not a killer. But if you're talking about any of the menachos where you have to do petita, where you've got pieces, it's difficult to do. So kmitza is difficult. Chafina is really rough because chafina is first you have your entire chofnaim that are filled with the ketores. You then had put it in the machta. Now you have to get every last bit out of the machta by putting it back into your own chofnaim using your thumb to get all of the little pieces of the Ketores back into, you can't leave any out, and then you sprinkle it over the fire. That's also very difficult. So why do you say this is difficult? No, ein achinami. It means zo avodah kasha. This is one of the difficult things from the three avodahs that are kosher to do in the Mikdash. Now, the next sugya takes us into the dinim of shelo lishma and the dinim of pigol and chutz l'mekomei, and basically is going to go through the same dinim of the makshevas, pigol and chutz l'zmanai, and so on, that we went through at the beginning of the Masechta with Behema, and now it's going to tell us exactly the parallel on an oath, which, of course, over here, we're going to not be talking about the Shechita. We're going to be talking about a Kavana in Malika. We're not going to be talking about Zerika. We might be talking about Kavana in Hazoya. We're not going to be talking about Shvichav Shirayim, but we would be talking about Mitzvah and so on. But it's exactly the same dinim that we had before, utilizing the appropriate names of the Matirin and those things that are not Ma'akev on the oath that would be similar to the Chatas Behema. And therefore, it will include also the special din of Shelo Lishma, which is Chal as a psul for Chatas, also on the Chatas Ha'of. So we'll be talking about those dinim vis-a-vis Eila and the dinim vis-a-vis Chatas. However, the Mishnah essentially goes through the next daf as well, and it reviews all of the dinim that constituted Kimat the whole perek before what we were talking about Behema. So I'm unable to do it now, and I think it's probably a good idea to do it all together tomorrow as part of keeping in mind all of the dinim for tomorrow. So I hope you're bayach for me. As I explained yesterday, I can't do the Mishnayos either. I have to get to the airport. So Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you tomorrow. Hopefully make up for lost time. Thank you. Go to everyone. Surah Tovah.